The Detroit Pistons have played 25 games so far this season, so they're now roughly a little over a quarter of the way through the season. Let's go ahead and look back at this quarter of the season and give out some report card grades for all the Detroit Pistons players in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's PrizePicks.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. So you guys will probably remember, for those of you guys that are reoccurring listeners, but for those of you guys who are listening for the first time today, first of all, I want to welcome you guys to the Locked On Pistons podcast. You guys will have a lot of fun. But at the beginning of the year, I said that I don't like to look at players or try to evaluate players' seasons or their play until about like a 20-game sample size. I believe Dwayne Casey's talked about this. I've heard a lot of coaches talk about evaluating the season in quarters. First 20 games, next 20 games, next 20 games, next 20 games. Kind of look at it that way. Because the season's full of ups and downs, and guys can get out to a hot start and fade. Some guys can get out to a slow start and rise. So you don't want to try to get too quick to evaluating players. You want to give a good amount of sample size. You want to give them a good amount of time to get into rhythm and see where they're going. So for me, around 20 games is where I believe is probably the best way to go about it. I'm sure other people probably look at it maybe in like 33, 33, 30, whatever. I don't know what the exact math would, it would be like 33, 33 and what, 16 or so, somewhere around there. I don't know what everyone else's is, but for me, every 20 games will do. And I told you guys once around the 20 game mark came around, we would go back and we would look at some of the players and we'd start to grade them for the first quarter or just a little over than a quarter of the season. And that's what we're going to do in today's podcast. So obviously we're going to start off with the best player on the team, the most important player on the team, the face of the franchise, and that's Cade Cunningham. So Cade Cunningham gets an incomplete grade. He does not get a grade for the first 20 games, first 25 games, because he's hurt and he's been hurt for a while. So I'm not going to get, I can't give him a B, A, C. I can't give him anything because he's been hurt. What we did see from him, we saw him improve from some areas. We saw him struggle shooting from outside, but I thought he was a little bit more aggressive scoring-wise. Obviously, we saw his scoring uptick a little bit as far as points per game. We saw him start to get even more comfortable with the mid-range. But, you know, we didn't see enough of him to really give a grade at all. His grade, Cade Cunningham, incomplete. So the next player we're going to talk about, I'm sorry if you guys wanted to hear me talk about Cade a little bit more, but again, he just hasn't been healthy. I don't know what else is there to talk about. We'll talk about him again when we find out if he's getting surgery or not, which that's getting pretty annoying to be left on the unknown about. But either way, let's move on to the next player. I'm going to go with Bojan Bogdanović. So I'm going to give Bojan a B+ to an A-. A B+ to an A-, because for like the first 5-6 games, he was looking like Michael Jordan. He was looking like the second coming, and he was just dominating. But he's cooled off a little bit since then. He's cooled off a little bit. Now, he hasn't went to like straight dog water. He hasn't become trash, but he's not the same. He hasn't been dominating these games or having, what was it? He had like 50-50-90 splits after like the first 7 games or something. He doesn't have that no more. Like that was otherworldly. He doesn't have that no more. He's come back down to earth just a tad. On the season so far, he did miss one game. But on the season so far, he's averaging 20 points per game, 20.6 points per game, which is a career high for him. He's shooting 50% from the floor, 42% from deep, 57% all two-pointers, and 87% from the free throw line. So by all accounts, this is a career year for Bogey. I don't think he's had another season that he's played this well. He's always been a fun scorer. He's always been a good scorer. But he's playing lights out for the Detroit Pistons. So you're probably wondering, okay, then why aren't you giving him an A+ if this is the best year he's had? I'm going to go ahead and say I'll give him an A minus instead of that B plus. I'll give him an A minus. But again, you guys are probably asking, why aren't you giving him an A plus then? I'm not giving him an A plus because one, he fell off a little bit. He cooled down. He didn't go to trash, but he cooled down a little bit. If he would have stayed around 50-50-90, then okay, obviously you'd get A plus. Okay, that would be otherworldly. But he cooled down a little bit. And then secondly, his defense has been terrible. And I know that you don't look at Bojan, you don't go to Bogey as a defender. You know what he is. You're not asking him to play defense. That's fair. But I feel like that should go into at least a little bit of your evaluation of Bojan Bogdanović. That's why instead of him being like a B or something, I give him an A minus still because you don't look for him for defense, but his offense has been so great, you can deal with it. But I'd be sitting here, I wouldn't be doing you guys justice if I sat here and acted like his defense hasn't been a major negative for the Pistons and for himself. So I'm going to give him an A minus. I don't expect his defense to get better throughout the year. He's just not going to play defense. He's 33 years old. It's probably not going to happen. So I think he's going to hover around the A minus area. He's been great. He's been great for the Pistons, despite the defensive concerns. He's provided the spacing, the scoring. And he, honestly, with removing, I don't think you have to remove bias towards any players. Bojan has been clearly the best player on the team for the whole season. He's the best scorer. He's been the best offensive player. When Cade was healthy, you could say Cade was, but Cade's not healthy. He hasn't been playing. So I think it's quite clear that Bojan Bogdanović has been the best player for the Detroit Pistons this year. And that trade that Troy Weaver made before the season was fantastic. It's been a fantastic trade for the Pistons. And I think the Pistons are going to get something really nice for Bojan at the deadline. And if they don't move him at the deadline, then they got a really nice player for the rest of this year who should help the young players and the offense for the rest of the year. Either way, great stuff. And Troy Weaver, this might be one of his best moves he's made. This guy has been absolutely lights out for the Pistons. Again, he's having a career year. So give it up to Bojan. He's been fantastic for the Pistons. Let's go ahead and go to the next player. I want to go to, you know what, let's go ahead and go with Isaiah Stewart. So Isaiah Stewart is a tough one for me. He's a tough one for me to truly give a grade for. So here's his high marks right now. His high marks are he's shooting 36% from deep this year on four attempts so far. He's only played in 18 games, but he's shooting 36% from deep, which is a lot better than I thought he'd be. I told you guys before the year, I thought he'd be around 32-33%. Through 18 games for him, he's shooting 36%, which is pretty damn good. You can live with that. You can definitely live with that. So, you know what? Actually, that's all that really everyone was looking forward to this year. Does he have some of his negatives? Yes. Does he struggle finishing around the rim still? Yes. Does he have some other things I think he needs to work on? Obviously. He's a flawed player. But the main progression for him this year was his three-point shot. That's what everyone was looking forward to. That was the big thing everyone was caring for. And he's shooting 36% through 18 games. He's missed 7 games, but he's shooting 36%. So, you know what? Forget all the other stuff. I'm going to give him a B+. I'm giving him a B+ because, again, he's been much better from outside than I thought he was going to be to start the season. So give him high praise for that. He's also doing it on 4 attempts a game, which is actually pretty decent volume. It's not like some crazy volume, but it's actually pretty decent volume. And, you know, that I'm going to give him credit for that. He's averaging 12 points per game and 8.9 rebounds. Nothing crazy right there. He's gotten a few extra minutes a game. He's starting all the games. Nothing too crazy to talk about there, but just simply because the three-point shot looks like it's come around and it looks like it's going to be a part of his game is a big enough plus and a good enough reason to give him a B+, despite some of the other flaws that he may have. So in the next 20 games, I think this grade may go higher or lower because now they're playing him exclusively at the four. Now that Marvin Bagley is back, he's playing the four a lot. So in the next 20 games, when we look back in the next podcast, 20 games from now, we're going to talk about whether he's been good at power forward. Is this something that he can actually do? Has he made progression? Has he improved? So stay tuned for that. I'm really interested to see this over the next 20, 30, 40 games. But so far, B plus for Isaiah Stewart, shooting much better from deep than I thought he would. So give him a ton of credit there. When we come back, we'll obviously get into some of the other players and give them some report cards like Jaden Ivey, Killian Hayes, Jalen Duren, Sadiq Bey. We'll get into all those players when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So let me go ahead and give you guys an example. So look, I used it today. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I used it today. So I'll give you a better example. So let's say I want to take the over on Luka Doncic's points. I want to take the over on LeBron James' points. I want to take the over on Kevin Durant's points. I want to take the over, let's say, because it's Monday Night Football going on tonight. I want to take the over on passing yards for Tom Brady. I want to put it all into the same ticket. I can do that over at Prize Picks, and I did. I did do that today. I took the over on DeJounte Murray's points. I took the over on Jabari Smith's points. I took the over on Klay Thompson's points, and then I took the over on Tom Brady's passing yards tonight. Hopefully, when you guys listen to the podcast, you guys can go back and look at this and be like, cool, you did a great job. But it's as simple as that. You just simply take the over or under on the players' projections. You pick 2 to 6 players. And again, you just see if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 25 times your money on any single entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports today. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks gives you $50. It's just that simple. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100 at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so let's get back into some of these grades for these players. So I want to open up with Jaden Ivey. So Jaden Ivey, he has been hurt as well. A lot of the Pistons players have been hurt. You're going to hear that probably a lot throughout this podcast and this evaluation. A lot of these players have been hurt at random points during this season. Jaden Ivey has played in 21 of the Pistons' 25 games. And in those 21 games, he is averaging 15.9 points, so basically 16 points a game, 4.9 rebounds, 4.3 assists. And he's shooting 41% from the field, 31% from deep, 47% on all twos, and 73% from the free throw line. So what grade would I give Jaden Ivey for his rookie year so far through 21 games for him? I think I'm leaning towards around a B. I don't think he's been an A. I think you've seen some of his flaws clearly come up. I don't think he's just been average either, though, because he's putting up more points statistically, points per game. He's more than I thought he was going to before the year. Before the year, I told you guys I thought he'd average around 12, 13 points a game. He's averaging 16 points a game. And I feel like a lot of that is because he's been given the opportunity now because Kay Cunningham is out. Kay Cunningham's going to be probably out, it seems like, for the rest of the year if he gets this surgery. So he's going to have increased opportunity and a lot of freedom to play with. And with that, he's shown you the explosiveness, the aggressiveness, the quickness, the finishing ability around the basket. You've seen all that. You've seen exactly why the Pistons were a fan of his, why they drafted him, why so many fans were interested in him, why so many fans were happy they drafted him. He's a crazy athlete, and he's shown that. It's been on display almost every single game. Every single game you see it. Something new he does is just like, whoa, that's not normal. You see it all the time. However, he hasn't been very efficient at all. He's been 41% from the field, 31% from deep, and 73% from the free throw line. That gives him a 51.5% or true shooting percentage. 51.5 true shooting percentage. Now, I said this last year with Kay Cunningham. I don't like judging rookies based off efficiency alone. Because efficiency, it's hard to be efficient as a young player in your rookie season, playing on bad teams, surrounded by bad players or okay players. Like, he's part of a bad team. And a lot of rookies struggle with efficiency. They get better with that once they play with better players, once they learn the NBA more, once they learn what are good shots, what are bad shots, all that stuff. So I don't like looking just at that for rookies. However, I think some of the negatives that you've seen so far, or let me not say negative, some areas of improvement is a better word, better words for Jaden Ivey. Shot selection has to improve. I think that's number one on my improvement list. He has to get better with his shot selection. He takes a lot of bad shots. Two, his turnovers. He's averaging 2.7 turnovers a game to just 4.3 assists. That's not a good ratio. He's turning the ball over a lot. And three, learning how to slow down, because that's where a lot of his turnovers come from, but also where a lot of his bad shots come from. So has he shown you exactly what you wanted to see when it comes to his explosiveness? Absolutely. Has he shown you exactly what you want to see when it comes to his aggressiveness? Absolutely. His quickness, his ability to finish around the rim with both hands, his crazy finishing package that he has around the rim. Has he shown you all that stuff? Yes. Has he also struggled in the areas you thought that he would probably struggle with before the season? Yes. And because he's been a little bit better than I thought he would be his opening season so far through 21 games, since he's been a little bit better than that, I'm going to give him around a B to maybe a B+. But I feel more comfortable at a B. I feel like he's going to get better, obviously, as the season goes on. I feel like in the next 20 games, we'll be looking at a B+. I think that's how it's going to go. He'll get better, but there's obvious areas that he needs to improve on. Some obvious areas where it looks like the game might be moving a little too fast, or he might be even moving too fast. And that's just some things he has to learn on. Those players like him, it take a while. So now, don't freak out too much over this grade over the first 20 games. It's a B. He's been good. But he hasn't been outstanding. He hasn't been crazy or anything. He struggled with some things, and he'll get better with that over the next 20, 40, 60 games of the year. So that's just how I feel about him through the first 20 games. Let me know what you guys would grade him over his first 20 games in the comment section down below. I'm sure he's probably going to be the hottest topic in the comment section in my DMs or even on Twitter in the mentions. You guys are probably going to be very – I'm going to see some crazy high grades. I'm going to see some crazy low grades. You guys seem to be like all over the place with Jaden Ivey lately. From what I've seen on my comments and everything. But anyways, let's move on to the next player. And this guy actually is the guy I had the toughest time coming up with a grade for. And I think you guys know who this is. This is Sadiq Bey. I'm having the toughest time trying to grade Sadiq Bey's season thus far. Because before the year, when we talked about Sadiq, the things I told you guys I wanted to see from him. I told you guys I wanted to see him shooting good from beyond the arc. I wanted to see him get closer back to where he was his rookie season from beyond the arc, improve upon that. And I said I wanted to see him not flirt with being under 40% from the field. You guys remember, I said that I think he could be around 43, 44% from the field. I don't think he should be flirting with being under 40% from the field. So those are my two areas that I wanted to see him improve on this season. And he hasn't improved in either of those areas. He's still flirting with being under 40%. He's at 40.4%. And he's gotten even worse from beyond the arc. He's shooting 26% from deep. He's shooting worse percentage-wise from deep than Isaiah Stewart and Killian Hayes. If I told you before the year that Isaiah Stewart and Killian Hayes would be better shooters than Sadiq Bey, you would have called me crazy. But they have been. Not only from deep, but from mid-range, which we'll talk about later with Killian Hayes. So why shouldn't I just be easily giving him like a D+ then? Is what you guys are probably asking. If that's the case, Koo, why is he not getting a bad grade off the top? Well, it's because I've seen him improve in other areas. His two-point percentage on the season, he's at 52%. That's by far a career high. 7 percentage points higher than any other point in his career. He's shooting 88% from the free throw line. He's drawing 4.5 free throws a game. So he's gotten better at drawing free throws. He's gotten much, much better at finishing around the basket. I honestly don't know how he's done it, because he still can't get off the ground more than 5 inches. Like, he still doesn't have a high vertical at all. It doesn't even feel like he jumps on his drive to the rim. But somehow, some way, he's used his strength. His funky layup package he has to be a pretty good finisher around the rim. And usually when he misses around the rim, it's a foul call because he's drawing contact and he knows how to sell contact really well. So that's why I'm having the toughest time grading him, because he's not doing the things I wanted to see from him, but he's doing things that I didn't think we would see from him in other areas. So, like, where do I fall with that? And I think I have to fall at like a C+ with him then. I feel like that's the only way, that's the only grade I feel comfortable giving Sadiq, because in the overall scheme of things, is him improving around the rim good? Yes. Is him becoming a legitimate foul drawer, getting to the free throw line a lot of times per game. Yes, yes, that's less legit. That's a big improvement. But in the grand scheme of things, that if you're not doing, unless you're doing those things at an elite level, it's going to be hard to make up for you being a bad outside shooter and bad efficiency wise everywhere else on the floor. Like, you have to be the example I used, and it's a bad example, but I don't know why he's the first name that came to my head. It's just like DeMar DeRozan. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's absolutely fantastic creating his own shot. He's fantastic at drawing free throws. He's fantastic in the mid-range area. So he doesn't have to be very efficient for me on the arc. It's a bad comparison because you don't have to shoot threes to be efficient. And DeMar is incredibly efficient because he's a good shooter everywhere else. But the reason why I bring that up is, like, if Sadiq was like DeMar to where he was a great creator for himself, like an elite creator for himself, and was elite at finishing around the basket, an elite athlete, an elite free throw shooter, an elite foul drawer, then maybe he could get away with all the other negatives. But I'm just very skeptical that he can get away with shooting 26% from deep, being a terrible outside shooter. That he can be getting, he can get away with being a terrible efficiency from everywhere else on the floor, outside, around the basket, and the free throw line at his position, while also, by the way, not being a good defender. So it's tough. Sadiq's in a tough spot, man. We've said this multiple times in the podcast. You want to give him credit for his improvements around the rim. You want to give him improvements or credit for improving at being physical around the basket and drawing fouls. But, man, the other stuff is just so bad right now that it's tough to focus on those things. And that's why I have a tough time grading him. So I'm going to give him a grade of a C. I really want to hear your guys' grading on him because that's the most interesting to me. Sadiq is by far the most interesting grading I want to hear from you guys. So let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter how you guys would grade Sadiq Bey's first 20 or so games. He's also been hurt, by the way. Sadiq's also been hurt and missed a lot of games. He's missed 4 of their 25 games. So not a lot of games. I shouldn't have said that, but he did miss some time. So just let me know what you guys would grade him. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, we'll start grading even more players like Killian Hayes. And we'll start going into the vets that are coming off the bench as well. So stay tuned for that. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So before I get into the next grad, I just want to say that a lot of you guys have reached out to me and told me that you guys want to hear my thoughts on possibly acquiring the Atlanta Hawks big man, John Collins. I was going to do that at the end of this podcast, but I'm not going to have enough time, and I want to kind of give a full segment to that. So it will be coming in the future, but just stay tuned for that. Anyways, let's go ahead and get to some of the other players. So let's go Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes is another guy I feel like a lot of you guys are going to have different grading systems on, because he quite literally is the living example of why you don't grade players or start trying to evaluate players too early in the season. Because his first 10 games was possibly the worst first 10 games you will ever see from any player ever. Like, seriously, it was terrible. He was 18% from the field, 16% from deep, 2 points a game. It was horrific. It was absolutely horrific the first 10 games of the season. I couldn't believe it. But ever since then, he's averaging 11 points per game over the last 15. 11 points per game, 43% from the field, 40% from deep, 85% from the free throw line, 11 points with 6 assists a game, 1.3 steals. And if you even go over, let's say you just go over the last 14 games, that jumps up to 12 points. And if you go over his last five games, he's at 15.8 points, 7.4 assists, 1.8 steals, 50% from the field, 41% from deep, 100% from the free throw line, 3.6 rebounds, I think I said 1.8 steals already, with a great assist-to-turnover ratio, 7.4 assists to 2.2 turnovers. So over the last 15 games, he's been a completely different player. And really, over the last 10 games, he's really hit his stride. He's really hit his stride, and he's playing exceptional basketball. Really good basketball. So the question that you have now is, how much weight do you put into the first 10 games versus how he's played since then? And you have to put weight into how he started the season off. Like, it was so bad. Like, the first 10 games of the season were so bad that he's shooting 50% over the last five games. He's shooting 44% over the last 15 games, and he's still under 40% on the season. Like, that's how bad his first 10 games were. So you have to take that into account, just like you have to take into account just how well he's played since then. So if it was just, let's just say this, first 10 games, you give him an F. Over the last 15 games, I give him like an A-. So in between there, I give him like a B-. I meet in the middle, give him like a B-minus on his season just because of how he's turned it around over the last 15 games. The first 10 games, again, it's really holding him down because of how piss poor he really was on the floor. Like, his performance was terrible. But he's playing exceptional basketball for the Pistons since then. Really comfortable, and he's found himself a go-to shot that he's really comfortable with, the mid-range pull-up. He's been taking that with regularity, with a deep bag. There was a Twitter thread by someone, I believe at Basketball News, but I don't remember exactly who. I may be wrong there. But it was a big Twitter thread talking about the percentage of his shots that are coming from mid-range, the percentage of his shots that he's hitting on dribble pull-ups, and how that compares to his last season overseas, and how it's remarkably similar about how well he was hitting pull-up jumpers. That the first two seasons of his career, he wasn't hitting any of them, but now this year, the number is vastly similar to how he was hitting him overseas. He looks much more comfortable. He's playing much more free, much more confident. Just playing really good basketball for the Pistons. And I think he's going to get even better as the season goes on. I don't want to give too many crazy predictions, but I think he's going to, in like 20 games from now, you guys, there's going to be a lot of you guys that are going to be asking some sneaky, crazy questions about Killian Hayes. That's my prediction here. But I give him a B-, just because of how the first 10 games were. So that's my grade for Killian Hayes. Let's give a grade for Jalen Duren now. I think Jalen Duren is going to have the highest grade of any player not named Bojan Bogdanović for the Detroit Pistons. This kid is 18, or was 18 years old. He turned 19, I believe, when they played the Lakers that day. He was 18, 19 years old. A lot of, me included, I was one of the people that thought he would spend time in the G League. I said it over and over. I thought they would want to play Nerlens Noel. I thought they would want to play Isaiah Stewart, Marvin Bagley. I thought he'd spend time in the G League some, because of just how young he is. I was completely wrong. There's been multiple nights, multiple stretches, a week in here, there. Heck, even on the podcast last week, I said I thought he's been their best big man. Jalen Duren, that is. I thought Jalen Duren has been their best big man. And maybe I was a little too far. I went a little too far. Maybe I have went a little too far with that, because he still has a lot of things he has to work on. However, what he is bringing to the table is things that no other big man can bring to the table for the Pistons, like his short roll passing, his playmaking ability, his raw rim protection, his athleticism at protecting the rim, grabbing rebounds, contested rebounds. All that stuff is things that no one else on this Pistons roster can do at the big man position. He's just so raw at all of them. I could understand if you guys said that he's not the best big yet. But he's been exceptional for the Pistons. 6.5 points, 6.7 rebounds in 21 minutes a game. He's shooting close to 60% from the field. Close to 60% on all two-pointers. Actually, let's go look at his per 100 possessions blocks per game. That's what I want to know. Per 100 possessions, maybe per 36. And actually, you know what? Let's just say we're per 100 possessions. I think that's a little bit more accurate, to be honest. All right, so his per 100 possessions, since he's only playing 21 minutes a game, is looking at 14 points a game, 15 rebounds a game, 2.0 blocks, 1.3 steals, and 1.4 assists. Now, obviously, I don't think if you gave him 30 minutes a game, he'd be putting up those numbers if you started him. I don't think he'd put up those exact numbers, but that just gives you a good idea of how productive he has been in his limited amount of time that he's played. And there's been multiple games that Dwayne Casey has decided to close with him over Isaiah Stewart and Marvin Bagley just because of how well he's playing. So Jalen Duren, he gets an A from me. I don't want to give him an A+, because A+ is like perfection, and he has things he has to improve on, like his free throw shooting. But he's damn near close. He's 18 years old, 19 years old, playing really damn good basketball that I don't think any of us, even some of you guys' biggest fans of Jalen Duren, I refuse to believe that you guys thought he'd be this good out the gate at 18 years old, the youngest player in the NBA. He's been fantastic. So he gets an A from me. I can't wait for the day when he becomes the Pistons starter. When that happens, I'm going to be so excited. He's the Pistons starting center of the future. He's going to be incredibly fun to watch for however long he's here. So I know I said, teasing this segment, that we were going to grade some of the vets, but I didn't realize just how many young guys I hadn't talked about yet. So we're not going to talk about any of the vets in the podcast. The vets on the podcast today. If you guys want to tell me what your guys' grades for the vets would be, go ahead in the comment section down below. But I want to do two more players. Actually, three more players. I'm going to go rather quickly with this because I'm running out of time. I don't want to make this podcast go too long. But Marvin Bagley will be the next one. Marvin Bagley will get a B for me because his defense has been very inconsistent. It's been horrific at times. And then you guys remember last week, I pointed out there was a good 3-4 game stretch there when he was pretty good on defense. So it's been very inconsistent and horrid at times, but good sometimes. He's only played in 12 of the 25 games. He dealt with injury. But in those 12 games, he's shooting 56% from the field, damn near 57, which is a career high. 37% from deep, which is a career high. That's fantastic. 60% on all two-pointers. That's a career high. 6.8 rebounds. And again, like I said, 13 points a game. So I'm giving him a B because, yes, it looks like he's improved from beyond the arc, at least some. He's just as good of a finisher around the basket as he was last year. He's doing a fantastic job at those areas. But his rebounding has to improve as a starting five. It hasn't been very good. It's been very, very inconsistent. His defense has been very inconsistent. And for those reasons, the Pistons have decided to close with Jalen Duren in multiple games because they simply can't trust Bagley to get rebounds they need and play defense they need. Now, again, in finishing and offensively, he's been really good. But those other areas are still weighing him down a little bit. So I'm going to give him a B. I think he can get higher. But through the first 20 games, 25 games, I'm going to give him a B. And I think that's a fair grading for Marvin Bagley. Isaiah Livers actually has been a little bit of a disappointment for me this year. You guys know that I was a big fan of his, and I had real high expectations for his season this year. But he's actually struggled a little bit. Now, over the last few games, he was starting to pick it up before he had a shoulder injury. He's played in 22 of the games. He's shooting 36% from deep, so he's not shooting the 42% he shot last year. He started to pick it up a little bit recently. But he definitely has been a little bit of a disappointment so far this year. Still like him. Still brings things to the table that you want to have out there, and that's why he continues to get minutes. I think he's going to turn around his outside shooting. He was already starting to do it. But over the totality of the first 25 games, I would give him like a C-minus grade. I wouldn't even be mad at some guys that give him a D+, because he has been disappointing. Weighing against like the expectations he had before, I could understand if some guys gave him like a D+, but I'm going to sit there at a C-minus. And the last guy I want to talk about is Kevin Knox, and we'll wrap up the podcast. Kevin Knox gets a B+ for me. I didn't think Kevin Knox would be part of the rotation. People were saying before the year, people were calling him the worst player in the league. And I actually think he's been pretty damn good for the Pistons, especially over the last like 2 weeks or so. Since coming back, since getting put into the rotation on November 20th, so that's over the last 8 games, he's shooting 57% from the field, 48% from deep, 9 points a game. He's been really good for the Pistons over these last 8 games, and he's taken over. I don't know if you guys have noticed. He's taken over Hamidou Diallo's minutes. He's completely knocked Diallo out the rotation. And good for Knox. He's deserved it. So he's only played in 18 games because, again, they've only played 25 games. A lot of games, he wasn't even in the rotation. But over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think he's been pretty damn good for the Pistons. So I'm going to give Kevin Knox a B+. I don't think anyone expected him to be this good over the last 8 games or so. So those are my gradings. I didn't talk about Hamidou Diallo. I'll give you guys a quick grading for him. I'll give him a C. But outside of that, that's all I've got for you guys today. Let me know your guys' gradings for all these players in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. Thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe, everybody, and peace out.